Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here once again to take you on another small journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. Today we will start part 4, chapter 1, covering relative happiness and unhappiness, questions 920 to 928.
Enjoy.
Question 920. Can people enjoy complete happiness while on earth?
No, because life has been given to them as either a trial or an expiation. It is up to them to mitigate their misfortunes and be as happy as possible while on earth.
Question 921. We can understand that people will be happy on the earth when humanity as a whole is finally transformed. But meanwhile, is it possible for anyone to enjoy relative happiness?
Most of the time, people are the artisans of their own unhappiness. If they would practice the law of God, they would spare themselves many misfortunes and enjoy a state of happiness that is as great as their existence on such a dense plane will allow.
Author's remarks for question 921. Those who have a sufficient understanding of their future destiny do not see their corporeal existence as anything more than a quick journey. It is like a momentary stopover at a dreadful inn. They easily console themselves regarding a few passing annoyances on a journey that will lead them to a better situation to the degree they have prepared themselves for it. We are punished in this life through the infractions we commit against the laws of corporeal existence, through the misfortunes resulting from such infractions, and through our own excesses. If we were to trace what we call our earthly misfortunes back to their origin, we would see that most of them are the result of an early deviation from the straight and true road, thereby entering onto the wrong path, and from one thing to the next, we finally fell into disgrace. Question 922. Earthly happiness is relative to the position of each person, and what might suffice for the happiness of one would be misfortune for another. Is there nevertheless a common standard of happiness for all?
For material existence, it is the possession of all that is necessary. For the moral life, it is a good conscience and faith in the future.
Question 923. Doesn't that which would be superfluous for one become a necessity for another, and vice versa, according to their social position?
Yes, according to your materialistic ideas, your prejudices, your ambition, and all your absurd notions, for which the future will demand justice when you finally comprehend the truth. Obviously, those who have had an income of 50,000, who then see it reduced to 10,000, would consider themselves most unfortunate because they cannot maintain the demands of their social status. Keeping good horses and servants, gratifying all their passions, etc. They would regard themselves as lacking the necessities. Frankly, however, shouldn't you consider them worthy of pity while beside them are others who are dying of cold and hunger, without a place to lay their head? To be happy, the wise look down, never up. When they do lift their gaze, it is to raise their own soul toward the infinite.
Refer to question number 715. Question 924. There are misfortunes which do not depend on the way we act and which harm the most righteous people. Isn't there a way to keep ourselves from such misfortunes?
If you want to progress, you must resign yourselves and endure misfortunes without complaining. However, you will always find consolation within your own conscience, which gives you the hope of a better future, provided you do what is needed to obtain it.
Question 925. Why does God bless with the goods of wealth certain individuals who do not seem to deserve them?
It looks like a favor to those who do not see beyond the present. But you yourselves know that wealth is a trial that is usually more dangerous than poverty.
Refer to question number 814 and those following. Question 926. Because it creates new necessities, isn't civilization the source of new afflictions?
The misfortunes of this world result from the artificial needs you create for yourselves. People who know how to limit their desires, seeing without greed whatever might lie beyond their means, spare themselves many disappointments in this life. The wealthiest are really those who have the fewest needs. You envy the pleasures of the people who appear to be the fortunate ones of this earth. But do you happen to know what is in store for them? If they use their wealth only for themselves, they are selfish and will suffer a reversal. Pity them instead. God sometimes allows the wicked to prosper, but their prosperity is not to be envied, because they will pay for it with bitter tears. If the righteous are unfortunate, it is because they are going through a trial that will be credited to them if they bear it with courage. Remember the words of Jesus: "Blessed are those who suffer, for they shall be comforted."
Question 927. Superfluity is certainly not indispensable to happiness, but the same does not apply to necessities. So isn't the misfortune of those who are deprived of them real?
They are truly unfortunate only when they lack what is necessary for their life and the health of their body. Such deprivation is perhaps the result of their own making, and they can only blame themselves for it. If it has resulted from the wrong of another, the responsibility would fall upon the one who has caused it.
Question 928. Through the special nature of our natural aptitudes, God obviously shows to each one of us our vocation in this world. Don't many misfortunes come from the fact that we are not following the right vocation?
That is true, and many times parents are the ones who, through pride or avarice, make their children deviate from the path outlined for them by nature, thereby compromising their happiness. They will be held responsible for having done so.
Sub-question 928. So would you consider it right if the son of a man of the upper classes becomes a cobbler, for instance, if that was his aptitude?
You do not need to resort to absurdities and exaggerations. Civilization has its necessities. Why would the son of an upper classman become a cobbler if he can do other things? Individuals can always be useful according to their abilities if they are not applied to something they are not meant for. For instance, instead of a bad lawyer, they could perhaps become a skilled mechanic, and so on.
Author's remarks for question 928. Operating outside their proper intellectual sphere is assuredly one of the most frequent causes of disappointment. Ineptitude in a chosen career is an inexhaustible source of reversals. Then pride is added to the mix, which keeps the individuals from resorting to a more humble profession, and they often regard suicide as the ultimate remedy for escaping from what they consider as humiliation. If a moral education had raised them above all of the prejudices of pride, they would never become destitute.